We want to get back into our subject matter because it seems to have so much life in it for us in this season that we're walking. And this is also something, what we're studying right now can help you for upcoming occurrences and events or happenings in your life so that you can more successfully navigate your way through them. And what we're dealing with is storms. Again, we're dealing with storms. There is a reason why you and I encounter storms in our lives. Now, in a church such as ours, we like to teach a lot. So we get on particular points of interest, and we'll stay there for a while. Now, that's not uncommon for this kind of a church. Now, I can take you to some instances and show you why. Because in the last days, the Bible says knowledge will increase. Now, it left that wide open for all kinds of knowledge. And that's true, too. Because knowledge is increasing at a phenomenal rate today, even in the secular world. Like nobody's business. And media, these little devices that we like to run around with, they have to stay up with that propensity for knowledge and its growth so that you can access it. See, as knowledge is coming into the world, you develop like this need to get in touch a whole lot faster than what you used to. So you need devices to help you find that. You got to Google something. You talk 20 years ago, you tell somebody you need to Google something, they probably hit you upside the head. Amen? Google what? You know? It sounds like a slang word to me. What you talking about? But now we understand these are ways that we can access things. Now, you know that the Spirit of the living God is working on a much higher level than our technology. So when he said that knowledge would increase, he's also pointing, first of all, to the fact that we in the body of Christ are going to be in a place of having clarity and clearer understanding in how the kingdom of God operates. Because you know what? First and foremost, God is concerned about his kingdom. Right? Now that's important. Because you are the adherents of the kingdom. You are the subjects of the kingdom. You are the citizens of the kingdom of God. So he's first and foremost interested in how his kingdom is operating. Right? When that individual said, take this talent, take these two talents, take these five talents, go out and invest them and give me profit when I come back. You know, he said that with this desire. When I come back, I'm going to check on what you've done. He didn't say, when I come back, I'm going to my favorite restaurant. I'm going to check on some business deal over here or this, that, or the other. His intention was to first come back and deal with those that he had dealt with. Amen. So God is interested in what he has downloaded into you and what you have done with it. Are you faithful and obedient in what you've heard from God? God is looking for prompt to do it, action on our part when it comes down to what he has said to us. Now, you got to understand, in the body of Christ today, we downplay the voice of God. Oh, we like to do this. Oh, something said to me, but I don't think that's the Lord. Something said to me. How dare you call the Spirit of grace something? That's an insult. Gives us the audacity to say to God, you are something. You see what I'm saying? We downplay it in the body of Christ. And we use terms like God dealt with me. Do you know what that means? Especially since you said it in past tense. You were disobedient to God. Because you were not prompt to do what he said. God dealt with me, but I just. That's disobedience. See? Now we got to go all the way back again, go back to Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. You don't have to turn there in your Bibles, but just to reference it. When God began this whole process of bringing into view everything that we know to be reality in the world, he did it by saying. He spoke a word. Light be. And it was. Man be. And he was created. I know he used his hands to create us. He formed us out of the earth, you know, because the Bible says that. But he spoke his word and we were. Now, if he did what he did to create the universe, why should he change it when he speaks to you to give you his initiative? Why should he change that? The same power for you to complete and do anything that God has ordained for you to do that was there when he said light be and light was is there when he says you do and you do. It's the same power. You can accomplish what God has called you to accomplish because it's based on his word. But not just his word, it's our cooperation with it. Our cooperation with it. Now this has got to be cherished on our part because we have trained ourselves to be slothful in obedience to God. Some of you are accustomed to interpreting tongues. You're accustomed. You know how to do that. And all of us that are acquainted with that function have at times lingered in our interpretation. In other words, we weren't as vigilant as we should have been to speak up and say what the Lord was giving through tongues. And you know as well as I that because you lingered, you didn't get all of the message out. Did you? You know what I'm saying, don't you? See, delayed obedience is disobedience. And the thing that happens when we delay in obeying God in anything is that what we do, we lose faith. We lose our ground, our foothold in the original intent of God. What God intended, we just compromised it because we delayed. You see what I'm saying? We compromised it because we delayed. Now we taught ourselves to do that because of stories like Gideon, because he put fleece out and God was patient with him and dealing with him. You know, we've convinced ourselves that it's okay for us to just be slowful to drag our feet, to procrastinate in the things of God, and if it's really God, it'll come back to me. All those times. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. God is a God of timing. He has moeds. He has these holy appointments that he has decreed. And there are times if you don't speak it in that moment with the Lord, somebody could miss their miracle. That's true. Their time for that miracle again could be lost. Right? Now, there was a woman in the service this morning. I spoke to her after the service. And she said that her son had had something amputated from his foot. And that word that I gave agreed with what they had done. And she drove a good distance to get to the church this morning. She's not from this area. God met her at the point of her faith. And I could have botched it by not speaking that word. If I had not released my faith when God showed it to me, it could have been botched. Her faith was there. They had believed for the same kind of miracle that I spoke out of my mouth. And when that word of knowledge comes, what God is doing, he's saying to you, here is the faith for that. Here it is. Take it. We say he's a present help in the time of need. Amen. But that's what he's doing. That's why he gave us the gifts. word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, interpretation, tongues. He gave us all of these things so that we can work with him, cooperate with him. He's speaking, right, out of the invisible into our visible world. And it shouldn't surprise us because we're kingdom citizens. And we don't do things the way that the world does things. We look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? That's what we do. Praise the Lord. So it is no wonder that the Lord keeps taking me back to this whole matter of faith in this subject of storms. Because whenever you encounter a storm, it is not happenstance. It's not a coincidence, right? This isn't just life happening. You are a kingdom citizen. God saved you for purpose. Therefore, your life is not like everybody else's. You cannot just put yourself in a group or in the company of your family or someone that, you know, that's a friend and expect that your life is just like theirs and you're subject to the same things that they're subject to. You are holy. Watch this now. See, the scripture says, be holy for I am holy. We have got the understanding in the church that when God said, be holy for I am holy, that he was requesting that you do everything that you can to straighten out that mess in your life and be holy. That's what we believe. And so we create formulas and religious cultural things like wear a longer dress. He said, be holy. You can't show your thighs. Come on. Wear a dress or a blouse that comes up so that you don't show your cleavage. Take that makeup off. That Jezebel's garb. You can't wear that stuff. You must be holy, right? Put your hair up on top of your head. It's not holy for you to have short hair. Wear it long, but roll it up and put it on the top of your head. Well, amen. We put all of these constraints on the church, on women. It always, you know, it's kind of comical to me. You got the woman walking around under all that pressure, and here the guy comes in just as casual, like he ain't got no problem. You know, he ain't got to wear nothing particularly, wear jeans if he want to. The poor woman, she got all of this stuff on. We go so far as we set all the women on one side of the church, all of the men on one side of the church. You don't hug any female person during a church service in the church because Paul said it's not good for you to even touch a woman. Amen. Now, you know it's scripture. We interpreted that scripture and all of those things and made formulas, right? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, now what you've done is you've made the word of God of no effect through your traditions. You were well-intentioned, but you took the word of God and you added things to it. So this is the way I'm going to fulfill that. I've heard it said that the Jews were so messed up in some of their traditions that like on the Sabbath day, you could only walk a mile, right? You know what they would do? They would take their coat the day before and put it a mile out so that, because you see, their coat, their garb that they had on had to do with their person. And they put their coat out there, which would allow them to walk further if their coat is already a mile out and they need to go 2 miles where they could go to where the coat was, and I'm allowed to go another mile from here. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? Now, we shake our heads about that, but we create the same kind of junk in the church today. And it makes the word of God of none effect. That's what it does. See, we have to have, he said, knowledge is going to increase. In other words, I am going to bring to you revelation in how you are to cooperate with the Spirit of God in what is called the kingdom of God, so that I can facilitate and do things that need to be done. I need you. I need you. That's what the Lord is saying. I need you. And that's, I've even said it, but there's folk in the church that say God don't need nobody. He God all by himself. Well, he is God all by himself, but he does need you, because he gave the earth into the hands of men. If he didn't need us, he wouldn't have any need to create Adam. He needed Adam to be God in the earth, to take dominion, to be in authority, and to take the Garden of Eden throughout all of the world, and then his plan into the universe. Isn't it interesting that our scientists, with all of their super telescopes and astronauts flying through the universe in these spaceships, and yet they haven't found one planet yet that can support human life? See what I'm saying? Because God's plan ain't gonna, he's not going out there somewhere and drop somebody off and say, they ain't doing it right on earth, so y'all go ahead and get started. He's not doing that. His original plan is that it starts here. This is going to be the most beautiful center of the universe. It's going to be where God's kingdom, authority proceeds from throughout the universe, right here on this planet. And that can't happen until we get it together. We, the children of God, have to cooperate with the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to flow through us in a correct manner. When I say a correct manner, I'm talking about you cooperating with the Holy Spirit, because he's giving you truth. You have to agree with it. It's not hard to know the voice of God. It's not hard to follow the Spirit of God. We tell ourselves those things to complicate it so that we can take ourselves out of responsible places. We don't always like responsibility. I'm sorry. You know, of whatever you may have done to get your life to the place that it is right now with the responsibility you have, you might have 19 children. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. And by different women. Right? This is in the body of Christ today. I mean, you know. And yet you got to call of God on your life. I'm sorry, but you know, when you come into the kingdom, all things are made new. You're forgiven. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are forgiven, but you don't understand, Pastor. I did some time. I'm sorry. You know, you did some time, but now you're in the kingdom. You're a brand new creature. But you don't understand. I used to be a transvestite. Well, now you've been transformed. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry what your past was. You have a responsibility now, and that is to hear his voice and to obey him. Isn't that right? So these storms are created or generated with a purpose. And the purpose is from the dark side. God doesn't have to use the storm to teach you anything. He gave us the Bible. See? Right? It's a terrible thing, you know, for a mind to be wasted without knowledge. That's a terrible thing. The Bible says that if you don't have any vision, you will perish. Right? Now, what is he saying? You will not be of any use to me in my kingdom. He didn't say that you wouldn't go to heaven. See, he's talking about you not fulfilling your purpose. Because there's no scripture in the Bible that says a Christian that doesn't have vision can lose their soul and go to hell. It does not say that. It says where there is no vision, the people perish. See? So you lose your way, and you don't have the direction you need to function in what God's called you to function in without a vision. But you still go to heaven, having not fulfilled. Having not fulfilled anything. Having not completed anything, because you committed your life to Christ. That's powerful. You're not going to lose that. But we don't want to be that kind of a person. So those storms are generated from the dark side with a purpose, because the devil's intention is to make you think you just have a bad life. You're under a curse. Maybe what I did in the past, God is punishing me for it because it was so bad. God's got to continually punish you throughout your life because what you did was so bad. Well, why would he save you then? If you're that bad, don't save the fool. Just let him go on. You know? I mean, if you're that bad, why go to the trouble to save you? Now, I have to say that like that because there's some people that believe that, and if I don't say fool, they're not going to get it. They're in deep. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Some people are in deep, and you can't help them by giving them a little patty cake message. What did Paul say? I think it was. Was it Paul that said, you speak to the Chaldeans strongly? They're like savage beasts. Rebuke them. You got to use strong words with them people. Right? Praise the Lord. Any Chaldeans in here tonight? Let me see, man. Just look around and see if there's... I don't think so. Praise the Lord. So we'll move on in a nice manner. God's still in a good mood. And I'm still happy. Praise the Lord. I have not lost my joy. Praise the Lord. So now, if storms come with a purpose, if they're generated from the dark side, because there is some understanding on the dark side of where you're going. Now, the devil doesn't have to know specifically what you're called to do. He knows very well that anyone that's born again, that pays attention to God and follows God, has overcome him and will defeat him. He knows that. He don't have to have any special word. He's seen it over and over and over and over and over again. Right? So all he's got to see is that you're making some progress. That's it. Just making some progress. Doing something right. And so he begins to generate these storms to get you confused, to get you misdirected. But you got to understand that we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Right? So every time we achieve, every time we complete, every time we make those steps for God, we are, in a sense, being prepared. I hate to use the word, but it's like we're evolving to a better place, a stronger place, a more powerful place. See, every time we walk in the Spirit and obey him, we achieve something. So then we need to ask ourselves, what am I supposed to be thinking when I encounter a storm? I have, say this with me, I have a renewed mind. Right. See, I have the mind of Christ. Christ never lost sight of what he has seen God do that he was supposed to do. So when Christ was told by, you know, this, who was the individual in the church that had a position in the church and his daughter was sick and he came to Jesus and he said, if you'll come and touch my child, she'll live and not die. Jairus. If he's over there in the hood, Jairus. Amen. Jairus, and the Jews probably say it totally different from that. All right? So here he goes. Jesus said, I'll go with you. So Jesus goes with him, and here comes well-meaning associates of Jairus. Don't bother the master anymore, for the child is dead. Now, they're well-meaning. They're thinking, he's a busy man. He's got lots to do. He's a rabbi. He's teaching multitudes of people. And your daughter is dead. What left is there for him to do? Don't bother him anymore. Jesus doesn't speak to the man that's given the bad word, the false prophecy. He looks at Jairus. And he says to him, believe only. Believe only. So he kept going. That was a storm. And that storm was generated so that Jairus would just give up and say, well, I just was too late. If I had just got there sooner. Right? God is always ahead of sooner. He's already there before sooner shows up. Right? That's God. So Jesus said, believe only. And he proceeded to go to his house. Now the folk are mourning another storm. You know as well as I do, you walk lightly when you get around a funeral, don't you? You make sure you walk lightly. You make sure you dress right. You make sure that you are sympathetic. Sympathy is an enemy of faith. It's an enemy of faith. Compassion is related to faith because Jesus had compassion on them and healed them all. There's a difference. Out of compassion, God will speak to you and give you a word when everybody else is being sympathetic. I'm so sorry for your loss. My prayers are with you. If your prayers are with me, where else are they? Your prayers are with me. What are your prayers saying? I want my child back. I mean, you lose someone, you still want them back, don't you? I don't care if they've been embalmed and been prepared for the grave, you still want the reality of it is you want them back. And Jesus was demonstrating what we can do. He was demonstrating it. Now, it takes a strong heart to receive this. But we are called to disrupt funerals. Well, I told you, it takes a strong heart. You know good and well you're not going to do a thing unless God speaks to you, and he better speak loud. you better speak. And you better give me a sign, and I better feel something. I mean, this is serious here. You don't do this at a funeral. And yet Smith Wigglesworth walks up and pulls a man out of a casket, throws him up on the side of the wall and said, live! And the man just crumbles down in the floor and everybody's going, oh, 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 oh. And I could just hear some little child go, Mom, did you see what that man did? And he picked him up again. Live! Fell down in the floor again. Somebody's going, I don't know about you, but I'm getting out of this place. I can't stand it. I can't watch this anymore. And he gets him up the third time. Live! And the man sneezes. And comes back to life. Now this wasn't Jesus. This was Smith Wigglesworth. Now that should be commonplace in the body of Christ. It should be commonplace. But we have so watered down the gospel and so not wanted to be responsible that it's more commonplace to just accept that everybody's dying. Just accept it. Do what you can for the family. And we don't expect God to do anything. Now, I know this puts you on the spot, but listen. If he's not speaking to you, you don't have to do anything. But if he does, you better get on with it. You hear me? Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I ain't going to no funeral for a while. Praise the Lord, I was scheduled to work. Oh, Jesus. See, you're not going to be in a position to give yourself to the word of the Lord unless you hear the word of the Lord concerning that, first of all. Because if you don't get the word of God in advance and realize that this is commonplace for us in the body of Christ, you're going to think you're going crazy because those kind of thoughts are coming to you. You're going to think you're going crazy. You think, man, the devil is trying to get me in trouble. I can see that right now. He's trying to make me look like a fool. Having dreams and visions about raising people from the dead. Start rebuking the dream, getting prayer for your mind. I need a sanctified mind. Then you dream it again. How many of you have ever woke up saying something? Woke yourself up saying something in the spirit? I have. My wife sat up in the bed one time, just sat right up in the bed and said something, la 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 la, and went right, laid right back down, didn't even know she did it. Something in the Lord. Yeah. This is how intense this should be getting in our spirit. Our belief in what God wants to do. See, the storm has been generated to keep you from believing that you are that person that can do that thing. See, I didn't say to you that you're going to do it. I said it should be commonplace. And the Holy Ghost picks who he wants to use to do it at any given time. That's what the scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians. The gifts of the Spirit are administered to people based on the Holy Spirit's knowledge of what God, that Jesus, has ordained for you to do. I'm under no pressure. But I've got to realize that we have got power. We have got authority. We are anointed, and nothing is impossible for us. I mean nothing. Nothing's impossible for us. See? And so with that attitude and that backdrop of the word of God, when God speaks to you, boy, you go with it. Because you've been prepared. See? Faith comes by hearing. That's the word. And hearing by the word of God. So the word of God, because I'm familiar with it, and because I've read the gospels, because I've seen that this is God's will for me as a Christian, I'm not surprised if God says for me to do something. I'm not saying, what? You mean me? Surely you're not speaking to me. I'm not going to come up with that kind of response because I've been prepared. I'm ready now to move, Lord. Amen. Kenneth Hagin was in a position one time where his finances were bad, things wasn't happening like they should be happening for the financial supply in his life. And the Lord showed him, he said, if you just make a little adjustment, he said, you can straighten this out. And I won't go into the whole story, but Kenneth Hagin Sr., he said, he repented. He said, okay, Lord, I made the adjustment. Send prosperity now. He expected it to happen right then. He didn't say, okay, I've made the adjustment. I know I've been bad, and I know you're disappointed, and you're looking down on me, and you really, really don't feel good about my past actions, so it's probably going to be a while before all of these things begin to flow like they should and my needs are met. Now, that's the way we think. He had enough sense to realize that as soon as you repent, it's done, and God is ready to act. He cast that sin in the sea of forgetfulness, and you could remind him of it. And he says, like, you know what? I know I've been around a long time, but I don't remember that. You know, I just don't remember it. You're forgiven. So get up. Let's go. Isn't that right? I keep trying to get to my notes, but boy, I tell you, it just seems awful difficult tonight to do that. But anyway, I have a renewed mind. So when the storm is generated, now the reason I keep going back to that is because if you're not in a storm now, just wait. Just wait. One's coming. See? This is the natural order of the world. See? Because Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He is going to generate storms. Now, one thing I want us to really keenly see, when you are en route, and you're en route when you get a word from God, before you take a step, you're en route. When you get that word from God, you're en route, because now you know what the will of the Lord is. And I know it's your intention to do what he said. But before you can get started, here comes a storm. Why? Because the devil is trying to eradicate that word out of your mind. That's his intention. He knows when a word of God has been released to you. Right? See, he knew Jesus was going to the gathering. He knew he's... And I got a headquarters over there. He up to something. Why else would he be going over there? Go out there and stop him. Do something. Make them turn that boat and go down to another city. Isn't that what you normally do when you're in a ship? You turn and you go in another direction. And then Jesus said, no, let's go to the other side. Over there. But that's where all of the problems go. Over there. See, if you don't encounter a storm, you know, and it comes down to God's will, it's probably because you ain't heard nothing. It's probably because you hadn't heard anything. The devil hates obedience in Christians. He wants to hold on to lost people. He wants to hold on to sick people. Right? Deranged and devastated situations. He wants to hold on to that. See? That's what he's here for. Death and destruction. And Jesus went about doing what? Good. Healing all manner of disease. That means I'm not afraid of Ebola. I'm not afraid of AIDS, HIV. I'm not afraid of any flesh-eating disease, or I'm not afraid of anything that I could drink that's deadly, because he said it wouldn't harm me. He gave me immunity. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. I mean, I got spiritual immunity. I can go into death itself and bring life. You can't even die. I'm sorry. You cannot even die until the Lord calls you home. You just can't die. That's the power we have. No deadly things shall harm you. See? And at the backdrop of that, when he says, I want you to go over there to the hood, I want you to go down to that drug dealer's house, right? And I want you to look him eyeball to eyeball and say, God has called you to preach his gospel. And then turn around and just walk out and leave him there with his drugs and his kingpins and his prostitutes. And all them devil-filled people going to look back over there at him. What was that? And they can't even touch you. That's all you got to do is what God told you to do. You don't have to do anything but that. Jesus went into the gatherings, delivered the man, and said, bye-bye, just go tell your friends what I did for you, and left. No instruction, didn't leave a disciple with him, didn't tell him to go down to the synagogue and get a 12-step course or nothing. Left the man. So he had to look to God, didn't he? And he did a good job, didn't he? He became an evangelist. I read this again in two places in the scripture just the other day where God spoke to me. I tried my best to get enrolled at Kenneth Hagin's school years ago. My Lord, I wanted to go to Kenneth Hagin's Bible College, and I was a veteran, and I could pay for it with my veterans, you know, money for education. But this is so far back that Kenneth Hagin's school wasn't set up to receive those kinds of funds, and they had to turn me down. I was disappointed. If I was going to go to Bible school anywhere, it was going to be the Kenneth Hagin Schoolboy. And I was turned down. My wife knows this is true. I was disappointed. I was heartbroken. I just knew that was God's will. And then I got in the scripture. She got in the scripture. And I found the scripture. And she found the scripture. And both of the scriptures said the same thing. The man that fears me, I will teach him in the way I shall choose, that I choose for him to go. And so the Lord has been, he's had me in Bible college ever since. That's a good thing, because if I was still paying tuition to go to the school that I'm in right now, I wouldn't have a dime. It's been years I've been in college. Yes, sir. God's school is expensive, but he paid the tuition. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So now the natural thing for us to do, operating on the outside of a renewed mind, the natural thing for us to do is to say, this must not be God, because if God said for me to do such and such a thing, then I shouldn't be having this problem. I should be able to do this, because, I mean, who can stop God? God can do whatever God wants to do. He's a sovereign Lord. He can do everything but get you to pay your tithe. You notice I'm looking at these empty chairs, the people that hadn't come yet. Because they're dealing with, they're going to have to pay tithes when they come. Yeah, he's sovereign, right? That's what's coming out of that person. You know that's true. He's trying to put off all of these things that they know that they should be doing by saying things like that. No. No, God does not go beyond the bounds of his laws. He does everything according to and in line with the laws of the kingdom. He doesn't break his own laws to get things done, right? He follows those laws. So he's got to use us, because he's given the earth into our hands. So the storm comes because of you, primarily because of you and what God's given you to do, right? So now when that happens, your renewed mind should be functioning in a different way. Your renewed mind should be functioning the way Jesus' mind functions, because your renewed mind is the mind of Christ. Jesus said to Jairus, he said, believe only. Now, this is a statement that we've heard before. They came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Lord, what must we do to do the great works of God? They really was expecting Jesus to give them a formula, weren't they? They expected him to give them some little thing to do, and every time you do this, the demon will go out. They wanted to know how he did it. What did you do? What did you say? What did you chant? What was the secret to getting the demon out of that person? And Jesus' response to them was not what they wanted to hear. Jesus said, believe on him whom God has sent. Now that has echoed down through the centuries to you and I. Now, we understand that they didn't believe on Jesus. Just because they said something like that didn't mean that they really believed on him. Because they came to him and said, Master, we know that you are a good man and that you don't listen to any man and you only do the will of God. And then the next thing they did was tempt him with something. So you can't look at those scriptures and believe that all of those people had good intentions. Jesus just gave them the very thing that they didn't want. You got to believe on me. God sent me. They didn't want to believe that God sent him. Right? Now, how does that how does that echo hit your existence today through all of these centuries today? The primary obstacle for you and I today, when it comes down to you walking in obedience to God and doing all that God gives you to do at any time that God gives you to do it, is whether or not you believe on him. Why would we think, God, you're trying to embarrass me because I don't believe on him? You can't make a statement like that unless you believe that about God. You're trying to make me look like a fool. Now, don't tell me you ain't never said it. Why would you ask me to give that much? It's a privilege for God to ask you to do anything. Anything. I mean anything. It's an awesome privilege. He's got millions of Christians, and he takes the time to speak to you. That's a privilege. I never will forget when the Lord spoke to me about this ministry. And I didn't know he was speaking about this ministry. See, when the Lord speaks to you, it's got to be unveiled, unfolded, disclosed. It's got to just, he'll peel off layer after layer to show you the depth of what he's saying over a period of time as you walk in obedience. If you don't walk in obedience, you don't get nothing but the tip of the iceberg. That's all you get. And the Lord said to me years ago before we started this church, he said, he said, would you be willing to set aside your music, your dreams for your music ministry, which my wife and I were dreaming of full-time music evangelizing and traveling throughout the country, selling everything and going for it, and using the music and the songs that God gave us, doing albums and stuff, and just going out there and winning souls. And he said, would you be willing to set that aside and take this church? And when he said take this church, he was talking about a friend's church that we had been sent to help in. He was preparing that individual for full-time missions work, and he wanted me to step right in as the pastor. Does God get everything that he wants? Be careful about your answer. He does not, does he? The religious answer is God is sovereign. God gets everything he wants. Sounds like it's coming out of a cave. Well, the person don't know God. They've been in there, that stale air and bats too long. No, God doesn't get everything he wants. If he got everything he wants, then he wanted Adam to stand up and run the serpent out of the garden, take his authority. But Adam didn't do it, so God didn't get what he wanted. Right? You see, when the Lord spoke that to me, I didn't realize, but he did, that it was going to culminate and come to a place where I would be right here doing what I'm doing. That just, it's almost like the Lord was taking me through the back door. Now, he wanted me to take that ministry. I believe he would have developed the ministry, and I believe that someone would have taken the ministry in Anniston, that's the city that it was in, and we would have still come up here and start this church, and we would have probably had both churches. I believe that would have happened. But because God didn't get what he wanted, I had to act like Abraham. My wife and I had to travel around and meet in different places until the Lord released to us, start the church here. And when he released that to us, now I've come full circle to doing what he really wanted me to do in the first place. Did he get everything on the way? No, he didn't get everything on the way, but he still has me. He still has you. So you can still fulfill God's will, even though maybe every little point and every little bit about what you were supposed to do, you didn't accomplish along the way. Don't disqualify yourself because you made some mistakes up to this point. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't throw yourself out of the race because you didn't get it done the way God wanted you to get it done. It can still be accomplished. He showed us that in Jonah. Right? He said, Jonah, you the man. You the only one can do this. I'm sorry. You're the only one that can do it. So I got a little experience for you. It's going to help you make up your mind. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go on a journey. I'm going to take you where man has never gone before. Oop. Down to the depths of the sea. My, my, my. Woo. What a journey. And when he came up, he said, you know what? I think I'll go over to Nineveh just like you said. And he did a good job, and the place repented, and God was pleased. Right? Okay, we won't talk about all of the aspects of Jonah's life, his spirituality, and what was going on in his soul. You know, that's another message. But the fact of the matter is that God was still able to use the man even after he botched it. After he botched it. God understood. That's why the Lord has provided for us 1 John 1:9. If you've sinned, just confess it. Because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He'll do that for us. Why? Because he wants you to keep moving forward. Amen. Somebody needed that, or I wouldn't have taken the time to say it. You just got to keep moving forward. It's not over. Tell your neighbor, it's not over. I've just begun. Hallelujah. There's more available for you in the unseen than there is in the natural. Now, I want to say something to you that I just recently saw in looking in the scripture. The Bible says of God, he calls those things that be not as though they are. Do you know what that's really saying? What that's really saying is that God is calling something that he has foretold to be in the future now as though it already was the future. He's not calling a non-existent thing that hasn't been created by him into existence. He has ordained that be, but he's speaking of it as though it already is. But the reality of it is that he foretold it. Do you see that? Now, watch this. You and I have the power to do the same thing. To call those things that be not in the natural realm seen as though they already are. In other words, some of you that's been here a while, you've come to us and you said, God showed me this about this church. In the natural, you haven't seen that happen. Could it be that it's delayed because you're not speaking it as though it is? Huh? See, God dropped that into you. That was a word of the Lord. And if you act on the word of the Lord, you can have what the word of the Lord said. That's your part. You can say like the little kid, I did that. You know, they're in the classroom, they're drawing this stuff, or they're creating their little projects, and the teacher comes up and they're just as proud of it, and they say, I did that. Yeah, that's your part. God doesn't drop the vision or a dream or a word of knowledge into you just to encourage you so you can just hang in there and stay in the church. You know what I'm saying? I know it's difficult. There's some folk. I mean, Lance Walnall said the same thing about his church some time back. I was listening to him. And he was saying that one of the problems we have as pastors is holding on to the people that we've got until the other people get there. Encouraging them so that they'll stay in place because there's others coming. And you've witnessed it, haven't you? People are not settled. They're coming and going. They can't wait for the vision to be fulfilled. They need it now. So they want to go into a situation where it looks like everything's already in place. It's much more glorious for you to be a part of something that was despised as being small that God took and he fed 5,000 with. It's much more encouraging for you to see the miracle happen than to go into one and have everybody tell you how it happened. Are you with me now? I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything God hadn't told you to do. Right? This is not what I'm after. What I'm after is explaining, is disclosing how the kingdom works. God showed you. I had a young lady to give me and Jean a word. I think the same young lady saw the church on fire. And firemen were called to the church because people were looking because flames were going up from the top of this building. But when she looked closer, it was fiery ministering angels. Now you see, that's what God revealed that because he wanted her to see that there was something in the spirit realm that he had decreed over this property and over this building for the glory of God. Do you see that? See? And when you speak that, you're releasing faith for that. God wants to accomplish that, but he needs somebody to prophesy. He needs somebody to decree a thing so that it'll be so. He's already released the faith, now prophesy. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's got to make his mind up that God can do it. But God doesn't do it without him speaking something. He said, prophesy to him. And he began to prophesy, and right before his eyes, come on, neck bone connected to the shoulder bone, and oh, yeah, somebody got a revelation. I think that was old Negro spiritual, wasn't it? Huh? I can't see no white people singing that. Anyway, he began to prophesy, and the bones, they began to be a rumbling, right? And they came together. They stood up, and then flesh began to come on the bones. And then life came in and became a mighty army for God. Doesn't that sound like the lost being saved, being equipped, and the armor of God being placed on them, and then they stand up as a mighty host and go out and do battle for God? Do a mighty work for God. That's what God's after. But he's got to have our voice. Now that's the way the renewed mind is supposed to think. You're supposed to be thinking in terms of what it's, God told me something. I cannot lose sight of what God said because of the intensity of what's coming against me. And it can come in the most personal ways. Right? The devil knows how old you are. Huh? He knows how young you are. He knows how inexperienced you are, right? He knows all those things. So he chooses his weapons well. And so he tries to touch you where it hurts the most. And then that has the ability to get your mind off of what God is saying. You don't mess with my children, and then your children get sick. God's told you to do something. And the conviction is still there to do it, but your child is sick. But to go do it, and it would make it look as though, my Lord, you don't have any compassion for your own children. You're still talking about going out here doing something for the church God told you to do, and your child at the house sick. That's the way the enemy works. That's the way it works. Makes it real personal. But Jesus said, if you don't love me more than... Ooh, that was a hard word, wasn't it? If you don't love me more than father and mother and children and wife and job and your own dreams and visions, what you want to do, if you don't love me more, then you can't have any part with me. That's strong. See, it's the hard sayings of Jesus that got everybody so upset about him. He just wouldn't teach like that. He's a nice man. And you got to be nice to help people the way he does. But then some of the stuff he says, my God, man, that's sharp. I can't take that. I just can't take it. I just don't have no respect for people. I mean, haven't you ever heard stuff like that? I said some stuff like that, haven't I? Dang, man, did he have to say it like that? Yes, I have. I admit it. And I'm sorry in one sense, but in another sense, I ain't sorry. I mean, if the Lord's anointing on me gave me that to say, he wanted it said the way it was said. And it has nothing to do with how I feel about you, how you feel about me. It's the Lord saying, straighten up. I gave you Al Green and he gave you a song, Straighten Out Your Life in Jesus' Name, and you didn't do it. Now I'm on you. See what I'm saying? I mean, God's going to come back strong when we don't give ourselves wholeheartedly to what he says. Why? It's not just about you. It is now, but it's about what you're going to accomplish. It's worth it. Well, Pastor, don't you ever want to quit?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I'm just like you. Yeah, I have the same emotions and the same feeling. Go through trials and tests. I love church because this is when the real me gets to talk. And I get to looking at myself and I say, right, go get it, boy. You tell it like it is. And don't forget it because you're going home in a few minutes. I'm serious. I jack myself up so much. Y'all think I'm preaching to you sometimes. I'm preaching to myself. You have to get sober. And that's why we also went from, you know, what is the renewed mind supposed to think in the face of storms? What are we supposed to think in the face of storms? What is the renewed mind going to tell you to say? What is the renewed mind going to tell you to say when you encounter the storm? Right? The renewed mind is going to tell you to repeat what God said. The storm is created to convince you there ain't no way that can't happen. I just don't have the ability. Somehow or another, I must have thought that was God, but it really might not be God at all because I just can't, I don't seem to have the ability to do this. God, this ain't working. See, all of those are the wrong words. You have to speak what he said because the power is in what God decreed. And remember, God did everything in the beginning by speaking words. He said, let light be, and light was. Everything that God did, he spoke a word. And he created us in his image, so it's important that we say what we're supposed to say. Right? Don't speak words that will support doubt and unbelief. And begin to bring down the things in your life that God has erected and made strong. Don't speak those kinds of words because they'll work on you to bring those things down. Oh. Well, you can't get the benefit of the kingdom of God while paying homage to something else. So that's why I make that kind of a statement. You can't get the benefits of the kingdom of God while paying homage to a lying spirit. Right? When you are inspired to say something that's not in the will of God, that is a lying spirit trying to inspire you. It's trying to get you to say something. Now, to see, the devil's even smart enough to realize that he can bring to demise what God has called you to do by using your mouth. By getting you to think wrongly and to speak wrongly. That's an inspiration from the dark side. Don't ever give in to that kind of thing. No matter what you feel like, no matter how hard it gets, continue to prophesy what God said. Always speak it. And it can get tough, can't it? Yes, it can. Oh, it can get tough. But your answer is staying with God and saying what God says. Yeah. Stay with him. One of the things that we're going to get into, I'm bringing this to a close, but one of the things that we're going to get into is why God raised up the church. And see, well, God raised the church up and it allows the church to be in communities to bring change to a whole community. To a whole community. If we do this right, we will be the cause and effect of prosperity coming to this whole area. We will be. And guess what? God won't let it be a secret either. You understand what I'm saying now? It's not going to be political. It's not going to be some wealthy somebody, you know, that's going to get credit. Why do I believe that? I mean, Adam's job was to take the Garden of Eden to the whole world. Doesn't that mean that economics and prosperity was going to come to communities as they're developed? Well-being? See? This is what God really wants to do. You know, there are people out there in sin that need jobs and will give God the credit when they get the job and will serve God because they got it. I'm serious. They will, because they don't want a handout. Right? God can bring that kind of prosperity to our community, but He needs a focal point. He needs a point of contact whereby He can work that through. And the Bible teaches us that God said, ask for the nations. Ask for the nations. Now, in one place, nations is translated ethnos, which is races. Hallelujah. See? So we're to ask for the races. A reconciliation of races. In other words, if we begin to give our attention, now this is one of the things, and I know I'm closing, but this is a good place to close to. One of the things that Judy and I need to give our attention to as we reach out in the community and we reach out to pray for people, to witness to people, and not even regarding whether they're saved or not, and letting them know that God wants them healed, God wants them to prosper, just blessing them and praying for them. And then when you get to the end of everything, you know, that you've blessed them with, then you start talking about salvation. And now you know you can keep this if you just give your life to Christ. They're not expecting that. But you see, when you center in on the poor and the needy, right? No strings attached. That's when they can tell that you love them. You didn't come asking for an offering. You don't need them to come to your church so that they can give and all of these things. You're reaching out to them because you love them, because God loves them. God says then He will bring the prosperity and the blessing to the community because you're going about it right. You're not going to the politicians. You're going to the poor, and you're bringing the kingdom to the poor. And one of the things you want to recognize when you go to the poor, that God has deposited a destiny even in the poor lost person. And your job is to find that diamond in that darkness. And when you find that diamond in that darkness and you begin to develop it, that person is going to cherish that they come under your wing. Because if it had not been God sending you to them, they would have never found their destiny, glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? So when you go to people, you go with them with the knowledge, God created you with purpose. He created you with purpose. You say, well, I'm not living for God. I don't know God. God, I've done so many bad things. Listen, God created you with purpose. And I can help you find that purpose. And God will wash you and cleanse you and make you whole. He'll do that for you. Let's pray the prayer of faith and salvation for those that are listening. Just pray this with me. Dear God, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I believe that you sent him to die for my sins. And I confess him as Lord over my life. And I ask your forgiveness for my sin. And I receive Christ as my Savior. Now, Father, thank you that I'm saved. Now bring me to my destiny. In the name of your Son. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise.